Thank you, Brother Stan. Wow, it's good to be here. Good to share with you. even though we did just celebrate 48 years, it doesn't seem that long, and we even commented about that, but I am blessed. I just want to say two things. First of all, number one, if you haven't bought this book and you're not reading this book, any of you about any relationships, you need to have it. It's the one you've been studying, and I asked the guys, and they said many of you have bought them, but there's a lot of good stuff in here, and so I want to just say that again. Another book that goes right with this, and it's The Relationship Principles of Jesus. Relationship Principles of Jesus. It's by Tom Holloway. It's also a book that I use in premarital counseling. It's one of those books that I don't care how old you are, you learn. So I just want to say that before we get started. Well, I look around this room and there's a lot of guys with some gray hair, and so probably many of you have had more experience at this than I have. And the other thing I assume is that I look around this room and that most of you have it put together with your wives or your friends or whoever it is. You have it put together. You don't make the same mistakes that I make. And I keep telling my wife I'm a slow learner. Please be patient. She says it's about time you learn. It takes 48 years. So that's why I wouldn't have anybody else, because I'm not sure they'd put up with me. But our lesson today is a heart that loves his wife. And I have to say and share a bit of our story, but also to look at what God says. And I say this to every couple that I counsel in premarital counseling or in any counseling marriage situation, and that is this: marriage is hard work. It is, if you're going to do it and do it right, it is hard, hard work. It's not for somebody that's lighthearted and says, oh, I think I'm going to get married. It's hard work. Not only that, it's not a 50-50 deal, and I learned that in the first week. It's 110 on your side, buddy, 110, and literally on the other side, she gives 110. So it's not a 50-50 deal the way the world is. But what I find out is, and I continue to find out even after 48 years, is that I am a selfish old guy. Not only that, I'm stubborn. And not only that, I want my own way many times. And you think I learn after a woman and a beautiful woman and a wife that has taken care of me many times, I would learn that it isn't always and it doesn't have to be my way, but yet. So I want you guys to think about this for a moment and just go back. Some of you, I said, are maybe older than I, but what was the first date like with the woman that is your wife? Now, some of you probably dated a whole bunch of ladies and did it out of just seeing what you could do. But what was your first date like? Now, they don't call it dating today. They just call it hang out, you know. I'm finding, I'm learning all this stuff from my grandkids. And think about the time, did you ask her to go steady? Now, they don't ask to go steady today either, you know. But they do that on texting. It's something. But when you ask her to go steady? Or think with me, when you ask her to marry you. And as I was preparing this, it brought back a lot of memories. Your wedding day. What do you remember about your wedding day? I guarantee you one thing, I don't remember what the pastor said. I don't have a clue. I remember her walking up the aisle. I thought, holy cow. She said yes. And then another question is, what did you do to win her heart? You went through those steps of dating and steady or whatever, however you termed it. What did you do to win her heart to say, yes, you are the one, to win her affection and to win her eyes for you? What did you do? How come we forget those things? And that's why I say I'm a slow learner. I forget. So I'm going to tell you a bit about our story. Martha is my wife. Martha grew up, I call her Marty. That's what the kids called her when she was young. They said, you don't look like a Martha. She was a tomboy. She wore a skirt to school, and one day they hit the baseball or the softball over the fence out at Howard School, went into the field. She bailed over the fence with a dress, ripped the back end of the dress out on the barbed wire. She was the first one over, beat the boys. And so the guys all told me she's a tough one. Well, anyway, she grew up two miles east of the Howard or the airport, Kokomo Airport. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the UP, God's country. Well, she says it's only because God would have it. Her oldest sister married my first cousin. They happened to meet in a church service project, and they were working, my first cousin was working for my dad in the Upper Peninsula, who had a feed store. And my dad and we had chicken house. We did installed a lot of barn equipment for back then, the bulk milk tanks and all that kind of stuff. If you're a farmer, you understand. She came to visit her sister. I came home from California. There was a window of about 3 days. We were going to be at the same time at the same place. Now you talk about God. She came up from Kokomo. Someone took her part way, and so she made the hitch. I flew home from California. I was working in L.A. in Watts. I was working in an elementary school in Watts. If you remember, you're old enough, the Watts riots. I was a peacemaker in the school, elementary school, trying to help build some of those relationships. I had flown home for Christmas. I had been gone a year. So we had those 3 nights. Now in the UP, Upper Peninsula, we call it UP. Now if you live below the bridge, you're a troll, you know. So that's why we call it Upper. Youper. I'm a Youper, that's right. We had those 3 nights in the UP. The churches, we were both raised in Christian families, committed to that. And I got home, and the next night, I took my younger siblings Christmas caroling. Now, the churches gathered in our community, 3 or 4 churches, and we'd go to the next little town and sing Christmas carols door to door. A church would open and give us hot chocolate afterwards, and we'd all just gather around tables and have a ball. So we did that 3 nights in a row. Well, we invited her to go along. She was at, happened to live right behind my parents. And on the third night, we sat for 3 hours and talked after. And she said to me, now they were leaving the next day. She said, hey, Lee, it'd be cool if you go to Kokomo with us to visit my family tomorrow morning. Now, I didn't even know we were dating. Well, we'd seen each other 3 days, you know. And anyway, I ended up going to Kokomo. Her parents lived on a farm out there for four days, I think it was. Well, when we drove in, nobody knew. Of course, back then there was no cell phones. No, we could have called, but my brother, it's brother-in-law now, my cousin said, "Oh, it's fun to see Mom squirm." Well, Mom was Marty's mother and his wife's Betty's mother. And so we drove in, and I tag in behind, and they all go, "Who's this?" Sure, my cousin said, "Oh, we found him along the road." Anyway, 3 days of shoveling manure, loading manure spreaders, milking cows, working like crazy. Ralph became my father-in-law several years later, but he said, "Man," he told Marty, "I think you better hang on to this guy. He knows how to work." So anyway, we were there those 4 or 5 days. I left, went back home, was there a couple of days, flew back to L.A. for the next year. I had a little over 2 years. And I prayed, "Lord, is this the lady, the girl I'm to marry?" Well, I prayed after we got in bed, and you know what? People have it so easy today. They Facebook or, you know, FaceTime or whatever you can do. I mean, letters. I made $15 a month in my service project, and a phone call could call, that long distance from L.A. to Indiana was $3 a minute. And man, I'll tell you, I was counting pennies. And so anyway, we would talk once in a while, and I wrote letters at least once a week, and she wrote once in a while, and I was having trouble figuring out if she was really, and finally I just said I invited her out for Thanksgiving, and I reckon it's almost a year since we'd seen each other, and I said, "Well, if you can come, great." I got a letter a week or so later, and she said she could come. She got a ticket and flew out. My mind at the airport was, will I even remember what this girl looks like? I did, because she was looking just like that too. Well, I had the privilege, as we were together for almost a week, learning to know her more. On Sunset Strip, I asked her to go steady. Because when I came home at the end of February into March, I was supposed to go to the UP, up back to home. But I told Dad in a letter, "Dad, I think this is the girl I am to marry, because she came to L.A. to visit me at Thanksgiving." And that was my prayer. "God, if she comes at Thanksgiving." So anyway, I came to, she lived in Goshen at the time. I came to Goshen. Within 2 days, I had a job. And I decided I was going to figure this out. Within 2 weeks, I realized that she was the one. And we confirmed that in prayer. Both of us were committed to saying, "Hey." That was in March of 69. We got married in October 11 of 69. And we lived up in Goshen for 7 years. Now, we first were friends. But how do you remain friends? We both had jobs in Goshen. I ended up, worked in a bank for a while and ended up as a branch manager, and I was cashing checks for people who were making 2 and 3 times what I was making in a week, and I decided I don't have to dress in a suit and tie every day. I'm willing to work. So I went to a company called New Paris Silo and ended up, then I worked 60, 70 hours a week. And it was at the end of that time in 75 when I was offered an opportunity to start a business in Kokomo. Now, I could have started there. I still haven't figured out why God said Kokomo. And it was in agricultural consulting. Just a brief word is, you contract with farmers to do soil sampling and nutrition work, livestock nutrition, and soils in the fields. Of course, it's changed completely today with GPS mapping and variable rates and auto steer and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, but my wife didn't want to move to Kokomo. I said, okay. We had just bought a house. A year later, they ask again. And she said, okay. I'm going, whoa, And we had talked about it briefly, but not a lot. And as we did that, moved to Kokomo, within 6 months, the church asked if I would be a youth pastor. And I said, if I can keep my business. I really felt God had called me to be in business. And they said, okay, you can be half-time. In 77, March, I was installed as a youth pastor. November of that same year, the older gentleman who was a senior pastor had a heart attack. And the church said, no problem, Lee's here, he'll do it. Now, I had no seminary, no Bible school, no. I had the Holy Spirit's direction, but anyway, within a period of time, by that next January, in 3 weeks, I had 5 funerals. That next summer, 3 weddings. And God said to me, Lee, I've always known you learn better by having to swim from the middle of the lake than starting from shore. To say that, finally, one day Marty said to me, when can we spend some time together? I said, dear, every day, there's church stuff, we're doing this, and she said, I said, us doing some things together. The church was to be halftime, but if you have ever pastored or been a part of a church, a halftime is 35 to 45 hours a week. Then my business and a family. One day, I was at a youth workers meeting, setting in tables similar to this. There was a group. I don't remember. It was close to Indianapolis, but I remember this. God used a 2x4, but later I really knew it was a 2x8. Smacked me alongside the head and said, Lee, you have a son and a daughter. Your son is 9 years old. Count with me, 9 years old, he has been in your home one half of his life. What have you done? I gave this list. I got 25 kids in youth group. I preach every other week at least or more. And blah, again, in the third time, finally I said, okay, God, what do you mean? He said, your family. Your son is 9 years old. One half of his life in your home is gone. What have you done? He said, take your date book. So that evening, I went home, took my date book, and I said to Marty, we need to sit down. We need to make changes. And she looked at me and like, finally you get it. And I said, here's what I think. And I gave some ideas. And every Friday night became family night, religiously. Now, again, I say to those of you who are part of churches, and I trust you all are, but I guarantee you that many pastors meet on meetings whenever a group can meet. And I had to say, no, I'm not meeting on Friday night. Every Saturday, I said there will be no business. Now, I was halftime church, and I was starting this business, and I was trying to make it go, and Lord said, that has to be time with your children and your wife. So Saturday, and only church emergencies on Saturday. I knew I needed to make changes when my son said to me, Dad, I know the only reason you have children is to be a slave driver. Because he had chores. So the question is, why are you doing what you're doing, and what are you doing that counts? In that time frame, Marty asked me to go shopping. And to those of you who know men, we're hunters, right? We want to get it and go. Women say, we're shopping-ing. It means all day. And we went in one store and bought something, and I said, well, now we got it. And she says, well, the other store might have something else. And she said, well, I can take this one back if I find something better. And I couldn't get this picture. I was like, why? And then never answer the question. She comes out of the dressing room, does this make me look fat? I say, no, the color isn't right. The other thing is, guys, you know what? At the back of every store, in a women's store, is a sale rack. Man, I beeline for that sale rack. Because even my wife likes a bargain. And they, most of them do. So if you can head for that back of that store and find something, and, you know, many times I pull it out and ask if you like it. No, she doesn't like it, but at least I'm there. And I have had to learn to be patient. Be patient. She enjoys it, so I've learned to enjoy it. It's a hunting trip. It really is. It's a hunting trip. For those of you who are younger, learn it quick. Learn it quick. Because the longer you wait, the worse it gets. And I'll be honest, I hate it when I hear ladies say, I wouldn't even take my husband to a store. He's a crab. Why? If you want to be with her, what did you do? Remember the question, what did you do to win her heart? You spent how much time together? You did everything together. You loved it. Anything to support her, to bring joy, to bring that peace, to bring, you know, excitement together. Do you still go on dates? Dates. Now, I'm talking about something you intentionally, the two of you go somewhere to do something that has reason and purpose. Took me a long time to figure that one out. I would say there's somebody in the hospital in Indianapolis from church, and so I need to go down. Would you go with me? I'm thinking, you know, it's killed two birds with one stone. We'll stop and eat on the way home. Not thinking that while we're at the hospital, it ends up taking 2.5 hours when I thought 20 minutes would do. And so we end up saying, let's quick grab a bite on the way home. That didn't satisfy as a date. It didn't. It didn't work. It took too long. The other one is listening. I'm a good listener. I got ears on both sides, so it's meant to handle two conversations, right? She's looking at me, and the kids were doing something, and I was hearing what they were doing, and she's saying to me, and she can tell good and well, or we're in a group, and she asked me a question, and I hear her, but I didn't listen, because I'm hearing what those guys were talking about, going golfing, and I wanted to go do that, but there was something else. How many of us listen? I've gotten in trouble so many times, listening. Yeah, I hear it, but I don't listen very well. Now, guys, I want to say today that you can all hear, and you've heard good talks, and I've been here several times these last couple of months, because after Kent asked if I would share this week, I had been here before, but the pastor's group does meet over there, and we do pray for you, and they're praying for us today, because I asked them to. But if you leave here today and don't change one thing, you haven't learned anything. The point is, what is one thing that you could take away? If you're not married, what with a friend or someone that you care about, what could you change? One thing that would affect your life and theirs. And if you are married, you have a major commitment. A major commitment. Till death do us part. That's a commitment. So, what will you do tonight or tomorrow or whatever and say to make a change? I'll tell you one quick story and then finish. A few weeks ago, we had some stuff going, and my wife asked if I had looked at it. I said no. Well, what I meant was I hadn't read it. I looked at it. Okay? Her idea was different than my idea. And guys, our wives take us seriously. They want to take us for the truth, the whole truth. And I had to go back to her and say, Marty, I'm sorry, I did not follow through with what I said. I'm sorry. Now let's talk about what you had that you wanted to share. Guys, that was, you'd think after 48 years. You know what I mean? It is hard work. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, and we can talk about that over and over. You hear it at weddings, and I should have put it in the scripture thing, but it says to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, we read over that, but we want to focus on the wives submit to your husbands. That's what we want to focus on, right? Yeah, be honest. Come on, you guys, you know. She owes me, man. The focus, the attention. But if you take that seriously, it's a huge order. Something huge you cannot fill on your own. There's no way. Only with Christ's help can you fill the shoes to be the husband to your wife that God has called you to be. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church and loves the church. It's a commitment. It's a major commitment. So today, the other at the end, how did you tell your wife this morning you love her before you left or she left? That's something that we have tried to do, and I'll be honest, the last while, as I and she, we both turned 70 this year, and man, we both said, where did it go? I tried to rent a Camaro for her for 70th birthday, because we had a Camaro when we were first married, one of the cheap ones, but it didn't even have 4-speed. It was just a little 3-speed, but we thought it was a cool car, and anyway, you can't rent one per se unless you order 6 months ahead and they finally, but it's expensive. So anyway, one of my farmers, he said his wife had a birthday and told me his story. And I said, well, I've been looking for a Camaro for my wife for a birthday just to drive, not to buy, guys. Anyway, he said, I got one at home in the garage. Go get it. I'm going, you gotta be kidding. So we got to drive a Camaro for 4 days that he had home in his garage that he had bought a couple years before, and they drive it just on occasions. So thank the Lord, right? We were thankful. We were blessed. How often do you tell her you love her? Do you really listen? Are those things important enough to you to make a change, to make your life and your wife a happy and a joyful and a blessed place? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word and the directions you give to us in your word about loving and caring. And Father, there's so much there. And Father, today as we talk at our tables, we just pray, I pray, Father, that you hit us with a 2x4 if we have to, if you have to. But Father, quick our hearts to change something that's just oh-hum or every day, that our wives wonder, do we really care? Thank you, Lord. I thank you for Marty. Just bless her today at work. Father, surround our families. Lord, just we praise you. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord, bless you.